Oh, you just pressed play. I am so grateful for that. I'm going to reward you with some great information and great ways to help you stay healthy and get inspired. Episode number 40, my guest today, Pam Borton. How to get and keep confidence, so important. The symptoms of a lack of confidence and how to get into a positive mindset. That and more coming up with executive coach Pam Borton. If I could ask a favor, just hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to catch every episode. We publish a new episode every Monday and Thursday. Hit subscribe, you'll get every one. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real, Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
So thrilled to have Pam Borton on with us today with 27 years of coaching Division I basketball experience, including 12 years at the University of Minnesota. Pam led her teams to a Final Four, three Sweet 16s, and numerous NCAA tournament appearances. Now an International Coaches Federation senior executive coach, Pam is a global leadership consultant for Borton Partners and has a proven track record of success with corporate executives, senior-level leaders, business teams, athletic coaches, and organizations. And she's out with a new book. It's called On Point, A Coach's Game Plan for Life, Leadership, and Performing with Grace Under Fire. And we're going to talk to Pam today about her new book and about having confidence. Pam, so happy to talk with you today. Can you first let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
Who am I when I'm not saving the world? I am just Pam. That's who I am. And I am just Pam. I am not any better than anybody else, bigger than anybody else, and I'm just a person that who enjoys making a difference and making an impact in people's lives, and somebody that loves Yorkshire Terriers.
Well, that sounds good to me. Pam is who I am. All right, Pam, I like to start the show with what I call the one thing. Are you ready?
I am ready to go.
Okay, good. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
One thing that people can do to improve their life today is to have a positive mindset and a great attitude. That is the one thing.
Okay, so how do we, do you have any simple tips for somebody to get themselves into a positive mindset every day?
Yeah, I think one thing is to really recognize what your strengths are and really recognize what you do well, the things that you like about yourself. And I think a lot of times people, they focus on the things that they don't do well and the things that they can't do. And I think that is doesn't create a positive mindset. And I think when you focus on your strengths and you focus on the positivity, that's what puts you in a positive mindset.
All right, well, that's good advice because we've all been given gifts and strengths, so focus on those. Now, let's talk about confidence. Maybe this ties in, too. For someone suffering from a lack of confidence, are there signs or symptoms that we should know about?
Absolutely. There's a number of things. I mean, there's self-doubt. There's questioning yourself. I think focusing on all the things that you can't do, not taking risks, being afraid to fail. I think there's a lot of things, and I think those are all very common things that, some people experience daily. That bully in people's heads, that negative self-talk, and I think, a lot of those things show up on a daily basis.
All right, so that's exactly what I was looking for. So self-doubt, questioning yourself, fear of failure, that negative self-talk, which I hate and which people need to get out of their mind. So for someone that has those symptoms, suffering from a lack of confidence, where does that come from? Are they're not born with that, right? Is something happened in their childhood or their upbringing that led to that?
No, I think, definitely, I coached for almost three decades, and every one of my players went through this, my staff went through this, I went through this, especially when you're rising up through the ranks. But it's It's a person that is wanting to be a perfectionist. It's that person that wants to be a pleaser, the person that is afraid to fail and afraid to make mistakes. And I think everybody's been in that situation before, especially when you're trying to get that next job, you're trying to get that promotion, you're trying to please your boss, you're trying to please your spouse. There's too many people that try to be perfect. There's too many people that don't take risks because they are afraid to fail. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to grow and get better in anything that we're doing is allowing people to make mistakes and encouraging people to make mistakes. And when you take those risks, that's when you grow. That's when you get better.
Right. And that lack of confidence can have really detrimental effects on your personal life and your professional life.
It really does. You really question yourself. And I think, the power of positivity and this really, there's so many things that you can do psychologically and going back and thinking of when was my last peak performance? What was I doing? How did I feel? What was around me? What were the senses? And when you were performing at your peak and when you start, questioning yourself and doubting yourself as you think about, I've prepared myself over and over and over again for this moment. I have a routine that I do before I go up and speak or before I go out and play a game or before I get on the radio. I have a routine. So when I do this, I'm going to be so confident and I'm going to be okay if I make mistakes because, at that point, we've got to be vulnerable and we're all human.
So it sounds like you're saying confidence, obviously something that can be taught and learned, and you were starting to give some tips there. So help us a little bit more. How do we get there? How do we get and keep confidence?
Well, the first thing is we have to understand what our capabilities are. We have to understand what our strengths are. We have to understand, especially if you're in a role, you have to understand what your capabilities are. And we all have different capabilities and different strengths. And the first thing is to recognize what those are, write those down, and really buy into those and just really embrace what those strengths are. We're not going to be good at every single thing. And once we realize those and we point those out and, to ourselves is then we prepare. We have to be, for my elite athletes, and I think in college sports or in any sports, you practice, practice, practice. And the more practice that you have, the more you're doing extra workouts or, the more you're practicing your speech and the more that you're extremely prepared for meetings, the more confident you're going to be. If you're unprepared and you haven't practiced or you're flying by the seat of your pants or you're just winging something, you're not going to have a whole lot of confidence. And the more prepared you are and the more practice that you put into something, the more that you have developed that trade, the more confident you're going to be. And then, we can learn from, these elite athletes by watching the Olympics or college games or in any sport that every single athlete has a routine. Every professional speaker has a routine. And those are, preparation and routines equals confidence. And if you're not prepared and you don't have a routine and you're doing something at the last minute or you're doing something different before, an event or, it's not going to feel comfortable. So understand what your capabilities are, be prepared, have a routine, and that will give you confidence.
I like that. Preparation plus routine equals confidence. That's pretty cool. I'm thinking about you and your career as a basketball coach, now as an executive coach. You must have countless stories of the women that you coached, somebody not having confidence as a shooter or a defender, and you helping that person get to where they wanted to or needed to be, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every single day, every day at practice, every play, every game, every year. I think when you're coaching 18 to 22 year olds, you're coaching kids, young women, mm-hmm. That's a daily routine or they don't have confidence going in and taking an exam. You're giving pep talks, on and off the court. You're coaching your players up. You're building your staff up if they're preparing for a game or they have to go out and give a pregame or a walkthrough before a game. You are doing it on a daily basis. You're coaching them up. And now I'm coaching up my executives that have to go in and face, their board. They have to go in and face and have a hard conversation with an employee. They have to, take a risk and they have to take their business to the next level, and they've got to take a risk. And, you know, now I'm coaching that as well.
For an executive or somebody just with a regular job, you know, that all plays in of that self-doubt, questioning, fear of failure, negative self-talk, no matter what position you're in your career, all of that can enter into your mind. So your advice of preparation plus routine equals confidence, you can apply that in any job you have.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I actually coach many of my executives the same way. And there's many executives that you know, men and women that have self-doubt, that lack the confidence. And, you know, the more, you know, they've been doing what they're doing for 20, 30 plus years, and everyone has self-doubt. Everyone lacks confidence because they're afraid to take a risk. They're afraid to make a mistake. They're afraid to look bad in front of their people. And you know, that's when they need confidence the most. And, you know, everybody needs a coach, and everybody's had a coach at some point in their life. If you played, you know, youth sports or high school or college sports, or your kids play sports, you know, a coach can, you know, makes an impact on many, many people.
Hearing you talk about that, you saying, you know, a little bit of that self-doubt or that uneasiness or, oh boy, I've got to go in front of the board. So that's normal, but the way to combat that, again, is with your preparation and routine. So if you put that strategy into place, it certainly makes that anxiety go away.
It really does. I mean, and that's what gives you the confidence is being extremely prepared. And you know, if you're going into a speaking engagement or a meeting, or I'm going into this big game, I have prepared myself my entire life. I've prepared myself the entire week for this big moment. And, you know, I think we all can think of a time where we went into a certain situation and we were extremely unprepared. And how confident were we to knock it out of the park?
And, not very confident, you know, right.
Not very confident.
Confident. I've been there myself, right? And you're going, why didn't I prepare more? Ah, why didn't you do the homework beforehand? Ah, I'm sure we've all been there. So I love what you have to say. So, Pam, for parents then, is there a way, or is it smart, or is there a strategy to help instill confidence early in a child's life?
Absolutely. And, I mean, it starts at a very young age, at, you know, from 3 years old on up. And I just think, you know, just the encouragement, pointing out the things that they're doing well, you know, those attagirls, the encouragement, the high fives, the knuckles, the, you know, pointing every little thing out that people do well. And I think research shows, I think it's like 4.6 positives to one negative. And, you know, research doesn't lie. And that's with normal, that isn't even with kids. That's just the, you know, the average age of a person. But I just think that really starting at a young age, and instead of pointing out, you know, I experience this as a coach as well, that, you know, as a coach, and I'll be very vulnerable right now, and I would do this behind closed doors with my staff, you know, why doesn't she box out, you know, better? Why can't she shoot the ball better? Why does this happen? Why can't they do this? Why can't they do that? And my assistant one day looked at me and he's like, Pam, why don't we focus on all the things that they can do? And that changed my life. That changed how I coached and how I looked at my players. And that starts at a very young age. And I think, you know, the sideline parental dysfunction that we see in sports now is ruining kids' lives. And, you know, I just think the more positive that parents can be, the better.
Well, you're playing to a person's strength, then, and as a coach, you're putting them in a better position to succeed. And you said earlier, you know, as in a self-assessment, you know, look at your capabilities. What are my capabilities? And write those down. But as a coach, you're seeing the capabilities in someone else, and then you had the ability to put them in a better position to be successful. And that's what a parent can do, too.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times we can see more of the capabilities than the individual can see in themselves, if that makes sense. We can see the positives. We can see the capabilities. We can see all of the potential in that person more than they can see it in themselves. And I think the more that we do as parents and as coaches and build our people up, build our kids up, build our players up, build our employees up, the more you're going to get out of them, and they will run through a wall for you.
That is so true. I mean, you've seen that in my own kids where they thought they weren't good at something. I'm like, wait a minute, you are good at it. If you would apply yourself and do these things, you would be really good at this. And that's the same thing in management, whether you're talking, as you said, you know, a CEO or a regular worker. You know, people think, boy, I'm not good at this. Wait a minute, you are good at it. You can achieve this. You know, pay attention to this and you'll get there.
Absolutely. I think and I would say 90% of my clients that I'm working with today, one of the top three leadership challenges that they have is giving their people and their teams positive reinforcement, encouragement. And you ask yourself, why? It's one of the top three leadership challenges that high-level leaders have.
That's very interesting. Now, do they have a self-realization of that, or they just don't automatically affirm like they should, and then that's your job to point that out?
Well, I think that's I think they're so focused and they're so driven. A lot of high-level leaders are type A and, you know, very execution type, on to the next, on to the next, let's get this done and move on to the next. And they stop. They don't stop and celebrate the successes. They don't stop and say thank you and great job and I appreciate you. I don't know what I would do without you. You know, great job on that project. You know, they're just so focused on moving on to the next task. And, you know, that is your job to do that right. That is your job to do, you know, this project. You know, why should I have to say thank you? That's your job. And, you know, and I think there's, you know, everyone needs, you know, a pat on the back and a high five and positive reinforcement. And that goes a long ways.
And celebrating those small victories is so important for the culture of the organization and for the individual themselves. So that's a really good point. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Pam Borton. If I could ask a favor, after the interview with Pam, jump on over to iTunes if you have an iTunes account and rate and review the podcast. By doing that, we gain a higher ranking. It gives us a chance to help more people on this podcast, which is all about I want people to live a better life. I want people to have more joy in their life and live an inspired life. So if you could just rate and review the podcast, that would help me achieve my goal. I would really appreciate that. The high five with Pam is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way is Life for your free audio book. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised by what's inside. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of sugar. So you want a salt like Real Salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt. That's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with my guest today, Pam Borton. Pam, are you ready?
I am ready to go.
All right. Question number one. What inspired you to become an executive coach after your amazing basketball coaching career?
I had an executive coach when I was coaching for 3 years, and it was transformational in my leadership and as a coach. It just took me to the next level. It made me more self-aware. And I wanted to continue helping high-level leaders, and this is was a no-brainer for me.
Well, it seems like a natural extension from being a head basketball coach into what you're doing.
Well, thank you. It was an easy transition other than learning how to run a business and work all of my technology, but the coaching part of it was the transition was very easy.
Right. Question number two, as an executive coach, what's the number one thing people come to you for?
they come to me as a thought leader, strategic thinker. High level leaders don't have a lot of people around them that they can talk to. They can't talk to their staff. They can't say certain things to their staff or their teams or other people in their organization. But I think it's to collaborate and talk with somebody that has been there and done it, that has sat in their chair and understands what's going on.
All right, question number three. I know you have thoughts on this. When someone makes a mistake, what should they do?
The individual, if someone makes a mistake, what should they do? They should move on quickly. They should move on as a coach. I would say move on to the next play.
And don't dwell on that, right?
Don't dwell on it. And I, you know, the words that I use with my clients is move on to the next play. You know, you got to move on. If you focus on that mistake, if you focus on that failure, you're probably going to end up making another mistake and then another mistake because you're dwelling on it and you're living, you're too consumed with, what you just did.
Right. So that's why I wanted to ask you that, because as you said earlier, a lot of people that lack confidence, self-doubt, questioning, fear of failure. So if you make a mistake, you fall right back into those again, and then you're not going to move forward. So your advice is get up, move on to the next.
Quickly, very quickly.
Quickly. Okay, quickly.
Quickly.
Gotcha. Okay. Hey, when Coach Borton says quickly, you move, okay?
Hustle.
No fooling around. Hustle, baby, hustle. All right, question number four. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
I do. I'm all about teams. Obviously, as a basketball coach for almost 30 years, and now I do coach a lot of teams. I coach a lot of leaders that have teams, and I coach a lot of leadership teams and management teams. And so, obviously, I'm a big believer in high-performing teams. This is my favorite quote. Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much.
Mm. Great quote. Helen Keller. Oh, that's good. We're going to put that quote up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. Just search for the Pam Borton show notes page and you'll find it there. That's a great quote for the times we live in too, right? We can do so much more together than we can alone. My goodness.
Absolutely.
All right. Question number five. Last one. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is...
that people matter. People matter more than anything that we do, especially as leaders. The people that we surround ourselves with, the people that we can affect positively in our lives, that everything that we do is people matter.
So good. And you would know that being a high-level coach, you're not getting anywhere if the people around you aren't performing at their best.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times, you know, your high-power, ego-driven coaches or those high-level leaders, and we have a lot of high-level leaders that we're watching front and center today, we cannot do anything. Mm-hmm. It is not about us. It was never about me. It was never about us, but it was always about the people around me, surrounding myself with more talented people than myself, and also and how we lead is how are we affecting the people around us, because we can affect them two different ways, positively and negatively.
And that's a great sentiment. People matter. That's awesome. Well, Pam, thank you so much for being on today. So tell us, how can we connect with you and learn more about you?
You can go to my website, pambortonpartners.com, and I have a website there, and you can also follow me on all the social media platforms on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me.
And we're going to put links to all of Pam's social media and her book and her website, again, on the show notes page at radiomd.com. So just go there and you'll find all of that good stuff and what we talked about today. Pam, thank you again. I'm going to leave you with a quote as I close out each one of my episodes. Here it is. Remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Pam, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Thanks again, Pam, and thank you for listening. And remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if I could ask a quick favor, just take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And the only way we can do that is if you rate it and review it, which helps the show gain more visibility. And please leave a comment when you do the review, what you want to hear, what you'd like me to talk about. I'd love to read that, so please do that. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. Make sure you hit me up there. Same thing on Facebook, at Which Way Is Life. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well. We'll be right back.